Are you a writer or coach? Do you dream of building a successful online business? Are you tired of hearing the gurus tell you that you need a big launch or a complicated funnel software? Whether you're struggling with self-doubt, imposter syndrome, or just feeling overwhelmed by too many choices, I can help. Hi, I'm Jonathan Milligan, author of Your Message Matters. And I recently put together a free on-demand video training called How to Build an Online Business as a Writer or Coach, The Low-Tech Way. Inside, you'll discover the low-tech system that 30x'd my online business. Just go to freetrainingvideo.net to get started. Again, that's freetrainingvideo.net.
Welcome to the Blogging Your Passion podcast. Here are your hosts, Jonathan Milligan and Bob Loddick.
So what are some ways that we can find more time to create content? Or how can we create more content in less time? Well, in this episode, we're going to be talking about how you can create more content in less time for your blog. But first, Blogging Your Passion University is an online school for bloggers where you can learn how to discover your passion and make money blogging about it. We have over 100 step-by-step videos in the members area for every level of blogger. We have a 101 course for brand new beginners, a 201 course for those that are blogging less than a year but want to see some more traffic, and a 301 course for those that have some traffic but they want to turn their blog into a business. You can preview the entire course outline by going to bloggingyourpassion.com/university. All right, so let's jump right into today's episode. So today I have Rebecca Livermore from professionalcontentcreation.com, a great blog I encourage all of you to go check out. And we're going to tackle today creating content and repurposing content. Specifically, we're going to tackle the biggest problems people have when it comes to creating content regularly. We're going to talk about some ways to find more time to create content and some benefits of repurposing content that you've already created. So I think you're going to love this interview. Hey, Rebecca, thanks for being here.
Well, thanks so much, Jonathan, for having me.
So we're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, and that is about creating content, repurposing content. I love talking about this type of topic. So in your experience, what's one of the biggest problems people have when it comes to creating content on a regular basis?
Well, there's actually two things that I have found when I have polled people, or I have a free opt-in that people opt in for. And when in that, in an email, I always ask them, give me feedback. What do you need help with? And consistently, they say these two things: not enough ideas and not enough time. So those seem to be the two biggies when it comes to creating content regularly.
Yeah, and I would say that is true with me in our university when I polled them, that not having the time is a big deal. And then what happens is they sit down and then they just see that blinking cursor and they're like, what am I going to write about? What am I going to write about? And right. So then they default to only writing when they're inspired. But as you and I know, that doesn't come along as often as we want it to be.
No, that's for sure.
So what are some ways to find more time to create content, or to create more content in less time?
Okay, well, first of all, I think it's really important for people to be realistic in terms of the amount of content that they'll create. So, you know, there's some bloggers out there that say you should blog every day, or there's all of these other rules, so to speak, that other people have set up. And I think it's really important for each person to decide what's the right rhythm, the right routine, frequency, and all of that for them. Now, I do recommend a minimum of one post a week. But other than that, I think that people need to keep it to that if that's what works for them. And in fact, they might even start with one post a week. And then when they get into a good routine with that, if they feel like they can increase it. So that's the first thing, is to be realistic about the amount of content that you can create.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. And then I was just going to say, then the second thing is to repurpose the content that you already have. So, for example, if your primary piece of content is a blog post, you can take that blog post and pull content from it for tweets or Facebook posts or quotes to put on images to pin to Pinterest. You know, you could take the main points from that post and create a PowerPoint presentation and put it up on SlideShare, and then maybe take that and turn it into a YouTube video and all of that. So starting with one piece of content, you can end up creating a lot of other types of content just from that one piece of content.
Yeah, and I love this topic because it's been so good to me, being able to repurpose content. And at first, I was kind of hesitant with it because I was like, I don't want people to just be like, I've already heard this, I've already seen this. But then what I found out is that either you're producing so much content, especially over a course of a couple years, that people don't, it's not like they're reading every single thing you're writing. So they're missing it and they're getting it in a different way. Or you have your marketing fingers out there in many more places. You have many more hooks in the water as opposed to just putting one pole in the water with your content. And I know that's been helpful for me, especially when I started a podcast, because I quickly started feeling I was running out of ideas. And I thought, I've got 2 or 3 years of blog posts here. Some of them are kind of buried. I'd love to turn them into a podcast. And the podcast pretty much became more popular than the blog, but yet I was using the same content, but doing it in a different medium. So I love repurposing. So I'm with you.
Yeah, definitely. And I think a thing that's important for people to remember is you're not necessarily doing it in exactly the same way. Mm-hmm. So you're not necessarily taking a blog post and reading it verbatim on a podcast, but you might take that blog post or a series of posts, and then from that content create an outline that you'll use when you record your podcast. So that adds some freshness to it as well, because you're not simply duplicating it exactly in a different medium.
And that's a good point. I know for me, I just recorded a couple podcasts yesterday and I was looking at an old topic and I'm like, I kind of like this topic, but I had put 3 different ways that you can earn money with webinars. Well, since I had written that, I had done 2 other ways. And so I used just the outline, and I wasn't like I was just reading the blog post, but I turned it into 5 different ways that you can earn income through webinars. And so I completely agree. That's a great point.
Yeah, for sure. Because it just doesn't sound natural to read something. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless you're saying this is an audio blog or this is an audio book, and then it's clear that you're reading it. Because otherwise, I think it just sounds a little bit stuffy and not as natural.
So what would you say to the person who's struggling with just getting the initial content created? I mean, they don't even have time to repurpose it. They're just in this, I need to get this content created.
Yeah, well, for sure. And I will say that it does take time to repurpose content. It's not like you can just snap your fingers and it's done. But one thing that I love the best about content repurposing is that it's the easiest type of content to outsource. And even though I'm a content creator, I don't like creating content for other people because it's difficult to create content that sounds just like that person. But when you're taking a piece of content that somebody has already created and repurposing it, it's very easy to maintain that person's voice because you can use their words as much as possible and all of that. So that's a huge, huge thing right there, is that you can find people who are talented in certain ways. So for example, video or so on, and you can hand that content to them and have them do it. So it actually saves a lot of time compared to creating everything from scratch yourself.
Okay, so I really like this because I also like to leverage my time and get other people to help me and have that leverage. As you know, you've got people who assist you, and I do as well. So can you give some examples of how you've outsourced your content creation or how you've even taken other people's content and repurposed it?
Sure. Well, there's a couple of ways. One thing that I have is a service called Blogging Your Voice. And what that is that I get on the phone or on Skype usually with somebody, a business owner, and they've prepared some questions and answers regarding, let's say, whatever their industry is. how to do XYZ or answering questions that their customers ask. And then we record that. I ask them the question, we record it, and then I have it transcribed, and I take that and I write a blog post with it. So they spend maybe 5 minutes, that's what I recommend, about 5 minutes answering a question, and I take that and turn it into a blog post. So maybe it would have taken them an hour to write it, but with me having the transcript, it's pretty easy for me to write a post for them from that. So again, that's a huge time savings right there. And because they're the one giving me their expertise and their knowledge, and I'm using their words as much as possible, even though I've written it, it started off with their words, and therefore it sounds like them, and it has their passion and their expertise and their personality and all of that. So that's one thing. Now, an example of how I have had somebody repurpose my content is that I have taken my blog post and I have hired somebody else to create PowerPoint presentations out of them. And then I have used those on SlideShare and then in some cases turned them into videos. And so what I've done with that is I just open up a Google Doc and I put a table in the doc with 3 columns in it. And in the first column, I just put a number. So for example, the slide number. And then in the middle column, I put what words I want to appear on the slide. And then in the right column, I put any other notes. Like I might put links that I want people to put in. If I have any other little instructions or anything like that, I put those in the third column. So I hand that to somebody else and they spend maybe a few hours creating a PowerPoint presentation for me. So even though it took my time to take that and put that information on a document, it still saves me a few hours per presentation. So that has been great. And since I put the words on and give people an idea of what I want, it still very much has my personality in it.
Yeah, I like that. So you leave kind of the, because sometimes I can get bogged down in the, you know, we all have fun looking, making it look nice or playing around with the slide or, you know, playing with this kind of font or that kind of font. And you quickly realize that you're kind of should be focused on something else.
Right.
And so being able to give the raw information that you want, that is your voice and your personality, and let somebody else take it and run with it. I like that a lot.
Yeah, for sure, because I kind of like creating my own presentations and I can do a good job on them, but it takes so much time. And also I found if you hire somebody that their specialty is PowerPoint or Keynote or whatever it is that you like to use, and you turn them loose, they're probably going to come up with some really creative things that you would not have even thought of. Just as an example, with this woman that I use, she will sometimes put in just things that just make me laugh. And I think, oh my gosh, that is so great. I never would have thought of doing something like that. And actually what I have her do is I have her create one presentation without any animations. And I use that on SlideShare. And then I have her take that same one and add all kinds of animations to it. And then that's a quick and easy way for me to make a video for YouTube. So I usually like do a voiceover or something and then upload it to the one with animations that she's made. And she has just done a fantastic job and is very creative. And like I say, she comes up with stuff that I never would have dreamed up on my own. So that's because that's her area of specialty.
Yeah, that's great. Very good. So, okay, in addition to saving time, what are some other benefits of repurposing content?
Okay, well, there are a lot of benefits. And so here are just maybe a few of them that people might want to consider. I think that repurposed content helps you to be everywhere. I kind of got inspired with the whole be everywhere theme from Pat Flynn, because that's something that he's known for. And Pat is somebody who, you know, is everywhere. He has his blog, he has a podcast, he has a YouTube video, YouTube channel, and all of that. And I think that repurposing is one of the best places to be everywhere, because you take your written content and then maybe you, like you said, you turn it into a podcast. Well, then that's on iTunes. or if you turn it into a video, well, that's on YouTube. So being everywhere is a huge, huge benefit. In addition to that, it helps to drive more traffic to your site. And I will just like mention, let's say, the slide share thing. With that, I can put links to my website or to an opt-in page or whatever I want. I can embed those links inside of the SlideShare presentation. And then I see in my analytics that I'm getting traffic from SlideShare to my blog or to my free offer or whatever it may be. So it's definitely a way to drive additional traffic. And then this is a biggie, is that different types of content appeal to different people. You know, there are some people who will read your blog, but they won't listen to your podcast. Or there's some people out there who maybe they really don't like to read, but they'll listen to audio all day long. And I think that when we put content out in different types of media, then we appeal to all of those different learning styles.
Yeah, and you hit the nail on the head right there, because that's the example I had with my Simple Life Habits podcast. You know, this podcast is for the Blogging Your Passion audience, but at the same time, I have another podcast, Simple Life Habits, where it was a lot about self-motivation, self-productivity, time management, self-development, those kind of things. And I had written for 3 years and built a decent blog with it and even had been featured on Lifehacker. And then I said, I'm going to start a podcast. And literally within 90 days, my downloads surpassed my number of uniquely monthly visitors on my blog. And I'm just scratching my head thinking, okay, so I need to put some more time and energy into this podcast, because this resonates, this particular type of topic is resonating in this format. And so that is the beauty, I think, of repurposing content also, is you can find out your particular topic and your audience that you're trying to reach. What is it? What is their preferred method? You may be surprised.
Right, right, exactly. And, you know, it's kind of funny because my preferred method is reading. And I didn't realize how much I would actually enjoy podcast as well. And I've become a huge podcast fan. And the reason is because I can listen to podcasts when I'm doing other things. So it kind of meets a different need of mine, you know, that when I'm going to the gym or I'm cooking or walking the dog or whatever else, I can take in content that way as well. And so even though I'm a big reader, I have found that I listen a lot just because it's convenient. So mm-hmm. people who are putting out both types of content tend to get more of my time and attention.
Yeah. Well, Rebecca, this has been so good. I know this is going to provide a lot of value for our listeners, and I really appreciate you giving us some time today. And before you go, I'd like for you to let our audience know how they can connect with you. And I think you've recently launched some more advanced training on this repurposing as well.
Right, that's correct. So the main place that people can connect with me is professionalcontentcreation.com. That's my main hub, and it's where I have my blog, and I also post my podcast there. But then there's also, as you said, I do have a course called Content Repurposing Made Easy, and you can find that at contentrepurposingmadeeasy.com. And for those who are on social media, which is probably most people, you can connect with me on Facebook at facebook.com/contentcreation, and I'm at R. Livermore on Twitter.
Awesome. Well, hey, listen, everybody that's out there with the Blogging Your Passion audience, I highly recommend Rebecca and what she's doing. So go check out what she's got, and I know you'll benefit from it. And Rebecca, thanks again for being here.
All right. Thank you, Jonathan. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks.